Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Hey, everyone. Welcome back. This is Jeff Brandeis from How We Scaled. Today, we have a guest with us that I think everyone's going to find fascinating and definitely has a need as they begin to scale their company, because it's a service that as you scale, you get more people coming on board and you get more issues and you get more concerns on making sure you take care of these people. So let me introduce you to Yuri Kruman. And Yuri, why don't you give a brief introduction to our audience of your business and what you do?
First of all, Jeff, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to speak with you. In terms of what I do, my company is called HR Talent and Systems Consulting. And what we do is we go into fast growth companies that they've been either bootstrapped or recently funded, and they don't have much for HR. And that HR might look like benefits, payroll, some kind of very rudimentary performance management once a year, basic communication, but really nothing that's built for the future, not built for scale, not built for growth. And unfortunately, at a certain point, again, HR is not the first or 10th priority for the vast majority of founders. And that's a shame, right? Because once they feel the pain of, we can't get great people here, or, we can't keep great people here, or, we have all kinds of issues around policies and procedures and, we can't motivate people, right? Usually then they call me because things are not going well. But, most companies could avoid those problems simply by thinking about strategic HR much earlier. And it's not because they need some kind of massive budget for it or massive staffing. It's just that's, you have to think in a certain way. Really, what is your philosophy for building a company? How do you treat people? Do you treat them like adults, or do you kind of baby them and keep information away from them, right? What I do is I come in and I work with C-level executives, usually CEO, COO, et cetera. I help kind of to help them to visualize what's going on in their company. Because a lot of the time they don't know, right? They're like, well, what are those guys doing over there, especially remotely? I have no idea what they're doing. Who's actually doing any work? And the company almost runs by magic, right? It's like, well, interesting. A lot of things are just not there. What about job descriptions? Are those even accurate? Most people, they sign up for something and they do something totally different in the end, right? Or career pathways. What does that look like within your company? Is somebody going to be able to move up, get paid more, promoted, et cetera? Oh, yeah, by the way, you might want to give feedback more often if somebody's not, not doing something that's clear because you haven't given them information. You might want to circulate more information, meaning have leadership meetings, you might get people on Slack, you might, just circulate things within the company. Every quarter you want to have an all-hands meeting. So those are the kinds of things that I work with, and I do coaching as well. That's one of my favorite things to do, and that's in some ways the glue of this work. It's, digital transformation, 80% of this work fails because there's no glue. People don't understand, why do I need to be doing this? How does this solve my career? So you have to coach them. You have to show them that if you want them to change the way they work, to become more productive, well, that sort of thing. Yeah, you need systems. Of course you need systems. Systems are not going to save you. They're not magic, right? Someone has to run the systems. There has to be some bigger picture. So that's why the company is called HR Talent and Systems.
Yeah, so, most problems in companies are people problems at the end of the day. So from your perspective, if you were to talk to a business owner or that's looking for HR, is there a certain level of number of employees or revenue
that becomes more of a bigger issue or concern to have someone like you for, to oversee their HR?
Well, I can tell you the typical range of businesses that I work with. And again, most of it is just kind of the urgency of the issue. So the companies I primarily work with are somewhere between, let's say, 50 employees and 500. They're usually around somewhere between, let's say, 2 and 7 years. So they're not completely new, and they're also not completely set in their ways. In terms of revenue, usually look at about 5 million ARR up to 50. And, you know, of course, those boundaries can fluctuate, but for the most part, that's the range in which I get involved and where companies really start understanding the need for some kind of systems and policies and procedures and somebody running the people and culture and HR side of things from a strategic level.
Right. So from a technology perspective, and, you know, the world has changed a lot, obviously, in, you know, in the past year and a half or so. How has the change in how people work, you know, from a on in office to remote affected, you know, human resources?
Number one is, I mean, it's completely changed the way that people perceive human resources, which in some ways is the most important. If you look at, again, what does HR have to contend with? Has to contend with, you know, that HR guy on the office, right, who was seen as a paper pusher and largely someone who just blabs and wastes time, okay? Pop culture is not very kind to HR, we know that. And the other part is most people kind of see HR as paper pushers and people that kind of, you know, give a false smile and then show them out the door, right? So that's something that HR has had to contend with. And then, of course, during COVID, suddenly, okay, well, you not only are doing onboarding, suddenly you're running that digital transformation, right? You're finding ways to help people work remotely. So maybe that's tech enablement. Maybe that's getting everyone on Slack. Maybe that's finding different ways to connect people in different kinds of forums, right? Maybe that's suddenly finding yourself needing to do a lot more training and learning and development for your staff.
Right.
So suddenly you have to think, well, how do I track that? How do I make sure they're productive? Right. So there's a lot of technology involved where, whether that's tracking, analytics, dashboards, just understanding, you know, the impact of COVID on mental health, physical health, right? You want to make sure that people are well taken care of and they understand how certain timelines might shift, whether it's for promotion or higher pay or career pathways. And so some companies have gotten this really, they've gotten this right. And those companies, you know, might be more on the tech side because they're already geared toward helping people work remotely. And you have other companies that have completely screwed this up, right? They come to this from a command and control kind of perspective. And, you know, on paper, again, oh, well, let's invest in such and such systems. Okay, but it's the overarching way of looking at this, right? There's nobody driving the bus. You're just more or less stabbing in the dark. And then once COVID ends, oh, everyone back to the office. That's it. Cat's out of the bag, buddy. Can't really kind of, you know. So I think a lot of it is perception, how people see HR. Number two is a much, I would say, greater impact that HR has had throughout this whole time. And again, going forward, I don't think there's a simple way to put the genie back in the bottle. I don't think HR is going to take a back seat, partially because, you know, business leaders now get it. You can't just sort of BS your way through people, culture, and HR. You have to have some.
Definitely true.
That's what they're doing.
So the obviously our name of our podcast is How We Scaled. So tell us a little bit about your journey of growing your company, what you did to scale it, grow it. Some of our listeners are always looking to hear, you know, the success stories of how people grew their organization and their company.
Joe, kids, don't try this at home. the way I've built this and scaled it is probably not the most typical way. Just for a bit of background, I'm in my big career, right? So I started out in academic neuroscience, law, debt to prove it. Good for me, right? I worked in finance. Then I worked in tech, in benefits and health tech. And I moved over to coaching, which is how I kind of started this journey. And then from coaching, after seeing excellent people leave great companies to work for because they're in golden handcuffs and they're totally misaligned with their work, sure. I started going to those companies and saying, hey, you know what? If you want to stem the tide of those people leaving, here's what you need to do. And it's not just more systems and, you know, better benefits or what have you. It's more complex than that, right? You have to understand human needs. I wrote a book, 2019, it came out. It's called What Millennials Really Want From Work and Life. Because I largely got sick of reading, you know, a million of these articles and listicles, what millennials really want. You know, they're flaky, they're entitled. Okay, let's take a look at the facts, right? Are millennials really that different from all the other generations that came before? And the conclusion is not really. Just we're more vocal about wanting what we believe we need in our career compared to previous generations that didn't feel empowered to speak up about those things because of cultural reasons and other reasons. And so millennials have also been in much more of a rush because, you know, there's a great recession. Now we had, you know, COVID, et cetera. So it's just acknowledging that, you know, nobody trusts institutions and you can't trust your employer to have your best interest at heart because fundamentally these things are in opposite directions on some level. Okay. And you can't trust governments to, let's say, incentivize the learning of life skills or universities for that matter. Right. So I think millennials and Gen Zs even more so now see the need for, okay, you've got to do this yourself. Like you're the, I've written about this recently. I call it experiential employment. Okay. So rather than, oh, let's make for a great employment experience and more or less, you know, put some kind of lipstick on a pig and then hope that everything is great. Okay. But again, fundamentally, the incentives are misaligned sometimes between the company and the employee. So it's really on the employee to go and think for themselves. Okay, what do I need out of this experience? Do I need to have certain kinds of projects under it, certain logos, right? A certain kind of roles, certain progression, promotion, higher pay? You know, do I need to learn project management? Do I need to learn how to be a great manager? I have to drive the bus. It's my development. I can't just leave it up to the employer or, you know, what I see on LinkedIn or some Facebook ad that somebody serves me up for masterclass. That's great, but it's not a strategy. It's a strategy. Okay. So that's how I have to look at this, right? As head of HR, I'm looking from the other side of the table as well, right? If I want to empower people and trust them and help them to grow while they're here with the company for 2-3 years, I have to think about this in a much more profound and thoughtful way than, oh, let's throw some perks your way. Let's improve your benefits. Let's pay you more. It's not enough. Okay. The best talent now, yeah, it needs to be flexible. It needs to have the ability to work remotely. It needs the ability to have great learning and development. Right. So in a way, talent still drives the bus. And if you want the best talent, you can't just, again, command and control your way to getting it. It won't work.
So how do you actually go about finding new clients, getting them into your pipeline, or how are you networking yourself in order to grow the company?
I would say content marketing is probably the best strategy that I've used, partly because I love writing, partly because I've had the opportunity, thankfully, to write for some great publications like Fast Company, Forbes, Entrepreneur, Newsweek. That caliber. What it does for me is it helps me to flesh out my ideas. So I'm someone who's looking for the truth. I mean, maybe that sounds tacky, but you know, whether that's figuring out how to empower employees in the best way, right? Whether I'm trying to understand if there is a fundamental difference for one generation versus another. I'm trying to find the right levers to push and pull in order to motivate people to do their life's best work in the here and now. With the company where I'm working as head of HR. Right. So for me, in order to be effective in finding new projects, I generate content. Yeah, I go to conferences and I speak. And I just speak to a lot of entrepreneurs that are, let's say, in this fast growth mode. Right now, I'm also starting up a podcast. It's going to be called the Fast Growth CEO. It's essentially reaching out to those people and hearing their story and then, you know, finding a way to create business that way as well.
Correct. So you mentioned one book earlier. So I believe you have another book, at least, is Be Your Own Commander in Chief. And you kind of expound upon what that book is all about.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. So this is a book I wrote over the last year while having another kid living in New York, all that stuff. somehow this book happened. I'm still not sure how, but what is it? What is the point of this book? It's kind of, again, both sides of the table. It's self-help on a very kind of wide range of subjects. And it's also thinking as a head of HR book. So if I want to give people learning and development, I can just throw all the classics at them. Okay, how to run a great meeting, or you know, how to take ownership and accountability, how to manage it. That's all great. That's very important, but it's in a vacuum. What I found was, you know, I've been a very long time consumer of self-help books. Something like, you know, several hundred thousand published every year. And the trouble with the vast majority of them, I mean, I'm 5%, they're verticals. So, okay, here's some, you know, improve your morning routine, or how to manage expectations, or manage your finances, or your manage your career, manage your business, etc. Great, awesome, wonderful, in a vacuum, right? How does this build into some kind of life philosophy? Okay, how does this account for all of the different layers that make up our existence? Okay. So I got to kind of, you know, I know there's this whole genre, like, you know, Tim Ferriss talks about the best practices of billionaires and endurance athletes, and that's great. I mean, there's a lot of wisdom there. But what about the average Joe who might be a little bit smarter or a little bit more motivated, maybe young at heart, whatever, wants to grow, but doesn't have the background of maybe growing up in, I don't know, Westchester County, you know, with parents that worked in law or finance or doctors, right? People that are not as savvy with, in terms of life skills. Yeah, they didn't learn them in college or anywhere else. Right? So there's this vast number of people in the middle in no man's land, if you will, and nobody's really writing for them. Nobody's creating any sort of life philosophy. It's like, hey, you know, morning routine, wake up at 5. Like, why the hell am I doing this? What is the point? How does this connect to something higher? So that's why I wrote the book. Right? The book has really four major conversations that each of us either has or should be having every single day. So one is on health, meaning nutrition, fitness, biorhythm, sleep, prevention, immunity, things like that. And again, your health is the basis for everything else. If you have health, you've got nothing else. Number two is your mental models and life skills. So first of all, there's this cognitive bias wheel, which you may be familiar with. And it's a massive number of ways that we undercut what our brain processes and what it sees and what it spits out. Okay, so even just wrapping your mind around that, how your brain short circuits what it's perceiving, right? That alone is massively important. That's the biggest chapter. But also, okay, how do you connect that to managing expectations, managing stress, making decisions properly? Do you manage your finances and business and career, right? You have to understand these things. If you don't, you're in a vacuum, yep. Right? You can have the best morning routine in the world, but you don't know where the hell you're going with your career or your business. So number three is this more classical coaching stuff. How do I deal with other people? How do I negotiate? How do I win the business deal? Ace the interview. Oh, yeah. Well, also, how do I relate to, I don't know, my wife and kids? Right? How can I do that from a values core? Right? How can I think about starting and managing relationships in a certain systematic way? And then how do I prune the wrong relationships? And how do I make sure that I check in with all the right people in my world? And the last is just kind of like going up a mountain. It's a little bit like Maslow's hierarchy, but more detailed. So all the way up, you know, toward the top of the mountain, you have to think, well, how can I find a way to feel like a part of something greater than myself? Okay, so it's not, I don't know, I'm going to eat organic food and do yoga or kumbaya on the beach. That's great. That's not enough. Or I'm part of this great company, Google, that says don't be evil. Not enough. Not really working. Okay, so there has to be some bigger sense of, okay, you know, is there a conversation with God or the universe? How do I do that? Like, how do I run that conversation? How do I make sure that I check in with some kind of spiritual dimension, whatever that looks like for you? Okay, And then once you're up on the top of the mountain, you've made it through these four levels. It's not like home, you know, I've reached Nirvana. No, at all. It just means now you know the path. So now you can go up and down that mountain and check in with each of these elements in your day, in your week, month, year, and from year to year. So you know where you're holding. And even if, I don't know, let's say you have a kid, and your kid throws off your sleep schedule and your time management and, you know, half a dozen other things.
Never happens, right?
Of course. You just go right back down that mountain and, yeah, how do I work on my time management? Okay, link my calendars. Okay, well, great. I'm back on the horse.
Gotcha.
That's the point. It's not just a map and a roadmap and some listicles. It's a real life philosophy. Right? It's a certain way of thinking about who am I, where am I going? And then you think about how to get there. You've got all the tools you need.
Sounds great. Are the books, I presume, are available on Amazon or sold elsewhere?
Yep. Yep, they're sold on Amazon.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So, Yuri, if people wanted to find you, how could they contact you and learn more about what you do and how you can help them?
Sure. Very simple. You can go to yurikruman.com, yurikruman.com. And that leads to both the coaching side of things and the HR consulting. And you can take a look at my books and podcasts and all the other things that I've done. Most of it is free, so feel free to check it out.
It's always great to add that value for people coming in to learn more about you. And you said this earlier, it's about providing value up front. And you build that trust, and that's how you grow the business as well. So, last question, then I'll let you run. What do you like to do in your spare time?
Well, there's a lot to do. We just moved to Israel, actually, 5 weeks ago.
Nice.
So the weather's a lot better here than in Brooklyn. There's a lot of hiking to do, a lot of nature. We got a lot of friends here. And, you know, I love writing and I love reading, so I'm just kind of trying to make sure I continue love those things as I was doing in New York. Yeah. Plenty of things to do with three kids.
Never a dull moment, right? You always go back to what you're talking about before, time management. Working that schedule into your time management with three kids is and keeping the wife happy and keeping everybody going, it's always going to be a challenge.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Yuri, thank you so much for joining us today. I think there's so much applicable in today's world where companies, you know, even candidly with less than, you know, whether you're 50 employees or you got 10, you have to think about HR. You got to think about what you say. You got to think about how you treat them. And, you know, there's diversity issues going on right now and setting policies with people. It's so important that you as a CEO and as a listener of a business, you know, talk to Yuri, because you, at the end of the day, it's almost like an insurance policy to basically have an HR person behind you to make sure you guide you in the right direction of protecting yourself and your business. Would that be a fair statement, Yuri?
I would say so. Yeah, I think beyond insurance, it just, you know, you want to do the right thing.
Yep.
My approach, just very briefly, is like this. As a head of HR, or if I'm running the company, I'm putting myself in their shoes, right? I want to make sure that I have everything lined up to treat people in the best way possible, to provide the right conditions for them to do their life's best work here. They don't respond to those conditions, they don't belong here. You should be able to find out pretty quickly. That's also a very important part of doing business, having the right people.
Very true. Yuri, again, thank you so much for joining. I think I got a lot out of this myself. And our listeners, I have no doubt, no concern that they will be in touch with you as well. Thanks for joining me. And we look forward to another broadcast coming up soon on How We Scaled. This is Jeff Brandeis. Again, thank you for our listeners. And again, Yuri, thank you for joining.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.